morning. Lacey, you've been gone too long. You home now. Lock the door and don't let her leave. Thank you, Jesus. It's good to serve the Lord. I pray the Lord blessings on you, His healing mercies upon your life. May any congestion or cold or flu trying to work in you, may it be gone in the name of Jesus. Can you see, man? I hate a song that makes me cry. I mean, I love it, really, but can you only imagine? That's an awesome song, isn't it? I'm ready to go. Let's go today. You ready to go today? Fine with me. Say, Brother Richard. If I could find a bus that would go, I'd be glad to do it, brother. Okay, go with me if you would, please, to the book of Isaiah, chapter 12. If you have it, would you say amen? Then you will say on that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord. For although you were angry with me, your anger is turned away, and you comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and song, and He hath become my salvation. Therefore you will joyously draw water from the springs of salvation, and in that day you will say, Give thanks to the Lord and call on His name. Make known His deeds among the peoples. Make them remember that His name is exalted. Praise the Lord in song, for He has done excellent things. Let this be known throughout the earth. Cry aloud and shout for joy, O inhabitant of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. I want to point out that this portion of Scripture that we read is especially for Israel in the end times. When she turns to Jesus, when she comes to her Messiah, if you look at the previous chapter, verse number 16, there will be a highway from Assyria for the remnant of His people who will be left, just as there was for Israel. In the day they came up out of the land of Egypt, then you will say on that day. So it's written primarily for Israel's redemption history. And so you'll often hear me say, keep your eyes on Jerusalem. Keep your eyes on Israel. That's God's master prophetic timepiece. So always be sure to do that. But there's more to this than just Israel. This is actually, there's something here that belongs to everyone who has come to know Jesus in the last 2,000 years. That is, since the time of the cross. One of the first internal witnesses that you have, that you're going to have, that shows that you have come to know Jesus, is this sense of joy. Can you say amen? This sense of completeness. Jesus told the disciples, these things I have spoken to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made complete. And the psalmist called this fullness of joy. That's why I hate to see people who call upon the name of the Lord who are unable to smile or to laugh or to have joy or to sing or to praise the Lord. It makes me feel like there's something that they need from the Lord, because joy is an attribute of the Spirit of Jesus. And the Spirit of Jesus resides in the heart of all who are actually born again. Now, if you look at verse number 3 of our text once again, therefore you will joyously draw water from the springs of salvation. Do you see that? Now, Jesus is drawing from the Scripture when He talked to the lady at the well. That's my opinion. And He tells the lady, whoever drinks the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life. So maybe the question we need to ask ourselves in the beginning of this year is, how's my joy? Is my joy complete? Do I need to unstop some wells? Because at the end of this, I need to tell you ahead of time, at the end of this teaching, I'm going to talk to you about some things we need to do in order for the life flow, the fullness of the Spirit to be flowing in our lives. Sometimes we need to unstop the well. Can you say amen? So what I want to share with you today, though, our last ministry of the year, last year, I dealt with the subject of this one will give you rest. We talked about the rest. What I'm sharing you today is really part of that truth. And I also want to point out that every child of God has in you, you have a spring in you already. And we'll talk about that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we approach your throne with tenderness in our hearts. We thank you, Lord, for this new year that you've given us, for this wonderful service this morning, for the time of worship. We thank you for your grace. Deal with our hearts, Lord. Help us to be people of holiness, holy warriors, holy worshipers, Lord, living with holy thoughts, with holy purpose. Help me to minister as I should today, Lord, that it may benefit and bless all who have gathered in your name. I ask you to bless your children and all the earth and all the pulpits who declare Jesus in truth. I ask it in your name, Jesus. Everyone said amen. Okay, if you want to take notes, this is where we're going to be going. I'm going to take you into three areas. Number one, we're going to talk about the presence of the Lord. The presence of the Lord. Secondly, we'll talk about songs in the night. Songs in the night. And then thirdly, we're going to talk about a statements you'll find in the Bible that I'm going to share with you a little later that really is an analogy or a type and shadow of things that we need to do. And that statement is, spring up, O well. So this is where we're going. Amen? The presence of the Lord. Secondly, songs in the night. And thirdly, spring up, O well. This is a good ministry to start the year off with. And this is what we have from the Lord. The presence. What did Jesus mean when he said, I've spoken these things to you that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full? My joy, your joy. My joy will be in you, and because of this, your joy will be made full. Well, in order for his joy to be in us, that can only mean one thing. That means that he himself is going to be with us and in us. With us and also in us. And that's in a spiritual form. And that's exactly what it means. And that's where your joy comes from. Eternal life means his life. The word spiritual is a Greek word that means invisibility and power. That which originates in God. So we have spiritual life, pneumatikos. In the Greek you pronounce the P, in the English you don't. Pneumatikos. Invisibility, power, God's presence in his Messiah, indwelling every child of God. So the joy you have is his joy. It is his life that's in you. Now let's pick up a few scriptures here. If you go with me to John chapter 14. We'll pick up a little bit in John. John chapter 14, verse number 23. Jesus answered and said to him, this is John 14:23, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. That is, he'll obtain the gospel and hold fast to it, the testimony of heaven, his word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. We're going to live permanently, abiding forever, the presence of the Almighty God in the spirit of his Son Jesus, Messiah. We're going to be with him. We're going to make our abode. That word abode, meno, means to settle down and remain and be with you constantly and always. So we have this particular promise. Now, if you look at chapter 16 of John and look at verse number 21, listen to what Jesus said, because as he talks to these disciples, they're in an upper room with him. They haven't experienced the things he's talking about, but they're very sad. Because Jesus is talking like he's leaving, and he says he's leaving. Well, he explains something here. If you look at chapter 16, verse number 21, when a woman is in labor, she has pain because her hour has come. But when she gives birth to the child, she no longer remembers the anguish because of the joy that a child has been born into the world. Therefore, you too have grief now, but I will see you again. And your heart will rejoice, and read the rest of that with me, And no one will take your joy away from you. Do you see it? I'm coming. I'm coming back. I'm going to be with you. We're going to make our abode in you. We're going to be with you. And you're going to have a joy that's going to be so deep that it's going to be a constant factor in your life, and no one will be able to take that joy away from you. It'll be the joy of your salvation. It'll happen the moment you truly, biblically receive Jesus Christ as the Messiah, as your Lord and your Savior. Something's going to happen to the innermost part of your life. And part of that happening is going to be the joy of Jesus. Now, the psalmist describes it also. If you go back to the book of Psalms, chapter 16, and I'm going to give you some Old Testament scriptures, former writings, because these ones in particular are quoted in the New Testament. But you have to keep in mind always, folks, that the early church, the only Bible they had was what we call the Old Testament, the former writings. That was their Bible, and that's what they needed. So if you look at Psalm 16, verse number 5 says, "The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and my cup." How many of you folks can say, "That's me. He's mine." The Lord is, let me read it once again, "The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and my cup." Now look at verse number 11. "You will make known to me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your right hand there are pleasures forever." These are spiritual pleasures. So here we have fullness of joy, and that He is our portion. That's why we weep when we sing songs. You can only imagine. But in our heart we know this is real. There's a reality there. Down inside there's a deepness of joy that belongs only to those who can sing the song of the redeemed and have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. That blood's been sprinkled on your heart. Something happens in the deepest part of your makeup. There is a joy of your salvation. Salvation in the Hebrew is the same name as Yeshua. It's Jesus. We have Jesus. Can you say that? Now, I read a scripture. Why is this scripture familiar that I just read? Because Peter quotes from it on the day of Pentecost, and it belongs to Christ and it belongs to all His people. Anything that's said of Christ, we are heirs of that also. We are heirs of God and joint heirs or fellow heirs with Jesus Christ. So when it talks about this, speaking of Christ here, "You made known to me the path of life, and your presence is fullness of joy. Your right hand are pleasures forever." That's also our part, because we're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? You have inherited something. You have inherited His peace. You have inherited His righteousness. You have inherited His joy. You have inherited Him. He is your life. He is your peace. He is your joy. He is your righteousness. And so this is an awesome thing when we start talking about this, the presence of the Lord in our life. And one of the secrets of the new covenant of spiritual life, but you don't hear it taught a lot, and it ought to be taught all the time, is that there is a rejoicing that takes place in our life, and it's not just our rejoicing, it is Him rejoicing. Jesus rejoices over us. Not only is He the joy of our heart, but He Himself rejoices in us. That's part of your spiritual life. Jesus not only saved you, He is saving you, and He will save you. And He does that by His presence, and He does that by some of the wonderful things that He does. He told the disciples, "I will not leave you as orphans, I will come to you." Well, He wasn't talking about the second coming there. He was talking about the beginning of the new covenant. "I'm going to come to you. And you're going to find that I will never leave with you. I'll never leave you. I will be with you always, even to the end of the age." You're going to have me in spiritual form dwelling in your heart and in your life. You're going to know my presence. And you're going to know my reality. And you're going to know truth. And the Holy Spirit is going to be bringing truth into your life. And you're going to experience the reality of me. So we have this wonderful thing about the presence of the Lord. You know, for you folks that weren't able to be here Friday evening, I would challenge you to purchase that tape. Nathan did a tremendous ministry one of the best ministers I've heard in a long time out of John chapter 10 about the voice of God, and that would be a good teaching for you to get a hold of. Amen? So, Jesus is with us. Jesus is in us. We have His presence. We have His reality. He speaks in us. He comes to us. And all this belongs to the realm of salvation. This is new covenant salvation. This is why it can't just be religion. Wherever you are, Jesus is. Wherever Jesus is, you are. Your life has been co-joined to His. So you don't go to one church and they have more of Jesus than another church. Jesus is not in the building. Jesus is in you. Now you need to be where He wants you to be. See, we sang a song years ago. It's God which worketh in you, both to will and to do. It's God which worketh in you for His good pleasure. Hallelujah. How many of you folks remember that? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's God which worketh in you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Both to will and to do. Philippians chapter 2. You see, years ago in a lot of the preaching that we did, we preached half Scripture. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. And so we started trying to do that. We started fearing and trembling. How many folks know that somebody broke a sentence in two? That's only half of a sentence. That is, that's talking about holy respect and the awe of God. The rest of that sentence says, for it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for His good pleasure. God is working in my life. He's not through with me. He's never going to be through with me. He redeemed me. He gave His blood. He purchased me. He bought me. He purchased me. He possesses me. I am His possession. I am one of His treasures in this earth. He died for me. Now that speaks highly of somebody He died for. If He died for you, then you're His treasure. Amen or oh me. So we have this wonderful thing about the sweet person of Jesus, sweet Spirit of Jesus, being in our life, taking up personal possession. The Bible calls this the seal of the Spirit that He indwells. And so when you become born again in the new covenant, you are a Christ-possessed person. You are His possession. He seals you and enters into you by His Spirit for the day of redemption. Now you can grieve. You can hinder. There's things that we can do, but they're saying He's going to be doing too at the same time. Let me give you one more scripture, then we'll get into our second area. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 13. And the writer here gives a summation as he closes out this awesome book. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 20-21. Do you have it? And notice how he closes. Now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord, equip you in every good thing to do His will. Look at what it says. Working in us that which is pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. He says, listen, He's working His will. He's working His good pleasure. He's doing something awesome in your life because He purchased you with His blood. And you are, I think you've heard me say this before, some of you, but in the King James where it talks about you being a peculiar, we are a peculiar people. It comes from two Greek words, which means the only way to describe it is put a dot on a piece of paper and draw a circle around it, because it means that He possesses, you are His possession. He surrounds you. The dot is you. That circle is God in Jesus. So you're God's peculiar. You're His possession. You're His treasure. So He surrounds you. Can you say amen? In the presence of the Lord, what is there? There's fullness of joy. This is not a thing of being, knowing all the answers and being so doctrinally accurate that you know, you're right and everybody else is wrong and you get that sour attitude. This is something that nobody can take away from you because you're His child. It doesn't have to do with understanding. It has to do with relationship. You came to the Lamb. Okay, this is the thing about the presence. You have the presence. Every child of God, the presence of God is going to always be with you wherever you are. The second area has to do with songs in the night. Now, it's not as though we don't do anything in all this. We're going to get that in our last area. But we first need to understand what the Lord's part is in our salvation experience. If we were left to ourselves, then we would always be on shaky ground. We would always be on shaky ground. We wouldn't be saved, folks. If you're left to your own devices and to your own self, then we would have so many dark spots in our life that we couldn't get out of, that would just be troublesome times that we could never escape. We never make it. Well, there's going to be dark spots in your life, by the way, folks. There's going to be troublesome times in your life. But David said, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow, whatever that may mean, of death, whatever that dark moment could be, I will fear no evil because what? You are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. So there's going to be trouble sometimes in your life. But it's during these times, no matter what the trouble may be, maybe your own failure, your own sin, your own stupidity, which I'm probably the only one to be very stupid here, but I've done plenty of that. God's going to intervene in special ways. And He's going to bring into your life what the Bible calls songs of deliverance. One psalmist says, a song in the night. He's going to begin working deliverances in your life through His intervention. And David tells us how it works. Now, if you go to Psalm 32, and again, I want to use this one because it's quoted in the New Covenant writings. But I want you to listen. And we're talking about songs in the night where the Lord intervenes in special ways. And one of these ways is giving you songs of deliverance. And what the Lord, before we read this, what the Lord does, because you may be entangled in some things, you may be losing, you may be getting dry in your spiritual eye, could be a lot of different things. You may be in something you ought not to be involved in. What happens is the Lord begins to initiate something. And He begins working with your memory. He begins working with remembrances. Remember where you came from. Remember what He's done in your life. And the Holy Spirit starts doing this in your life. Then out of this comes thankfulness. And in the midst of thankfulness comes a song of deliverance. He covers you with a song of deliverance. And you escape. And you are set free. Well, this is what David is talking about, and Paul quotes from this when he writes to Roman Christians. But just I want to just skim some of this so you'll see this. Psalm 32:1. How blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. How many of you folks know your transgressions are forgiven? Now, if you're walking in some transgressions now, those need to be confessed and dealt with. Put them under the blood. If anyone says he has no sin, he's deceiving himself, and the truth is not in him. So we have to learn to deal with life as it is. Paul said he was the chief of sinners. Can you say amen? If we will always remember that we are sinners saved by grace, we have the presence of God in our life, but we also walk around in a body that's temptable and a body that can do bad things. We have temptations and pressure. Paul talked about that in Romans chapter 7. But he said the answer is in the Spirit of Jesus. But listen to what he says. How blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. You see, when I kept silent, I had a lot of problems. But let's just deal with the first two verses. So what happens is the Holy Spirit begins to initiate something in our life. We call it repentance. The Bible calls it repentance. But He does it by remembering, causing us to remember His goodness. You ever had Him do that with you? Remember where He brought you from. Remember the things that He's done in the past. Remember that He still loves you. That He's still there. And He's there to help you. This is what's happening here. So David's explaining this. And drop down to verse number 6. The repentance is completed in verse number 4 and 5. In verse number 6. Therefore let everyone who's godly, that is those whose face is toward God, those who belong to God, pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely in a flood of water they will not reach him. But look at verse 7 now. You are. What's the result? What's happened in this person's mind? What's happened in his spirit? You are my hiding place. You preserve me from trouble. Read the rest of that with me, please. You surround me with songs of deliverance. You surround me with song. You surround me with your songs. You're singing a song. That song that's starting down deep inside of me, you did it. It's your song. I'm joining in with you. We're having a duet together. We're singing together. But you didn't start it. You weren't able to start it. You were in a dark point. You were in a troublesome moment. You couldn't do anything about it. But God did something. He gave you a song in the night. He gave you a song of deliverance. This is exactly what He's talking about here. A song of deliverance, brothers and sisters, is spiritual. It is spiritual. That means it originates in God. It originates in the Spirit. It doesn't originate in us or in our flesh. It originates, it's initiated by God, and it's also God singing. This is why sometimes you'll hear a song down in here. Are you relating with me? You'll, whatever it may be, and you may not be in real trouble. You just, maybe you're occupied with a bunch of things, and you stop and relax just for a minute. And then there's something to hear. It's like a song. Maybe it'll reach your lips. But it's a song of the Lord. He rejoices over you with singing, what the Bible says. He rejoices over you with His love. And so this is that song of deliverance. Now if you go to Hebrews 2, you've heard me minister on this many times in the past, but look again at these scriptures. Hebrews chapter number 2, because we're saying that it is the Lord Himself, the Spirit of the Lord, that's initiating these songs, these singing, these deliverances, so you can be filled with the Spirit and be delivered. Hebrews 2, I'm going to begin reading at verse number 10. It says, "For it was fitting for Him, for whom are all things and through whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory." What is He doing? He's bringing you somewhere. That word "sons" is a composite term for men and women. It was fitting for Him, that is, for whom are all things, this is Jesus, Messiah, and through whom are all things, God created the world through Him, in doing what? What is He doing? In bringing many sons to glory, to perfect the author of their salvation through suffering, both He who sanctifies and those who are sanctified are all from one Spirit. Who sanctifies us? Jesus, through His blood. We're all from one Father, that is. For which reason He's not ashamed to call them brethren. He wants you to have this family feeling of belonging of your Heavenly Father and of Jesus Christ, your Messiah and your Lord and Savior. Now verse number 12 and verse number 13, so wonderful. This is the Messiah. "I will proclaim your name to my brethren." Look at the rest of that. "In the midst of the congregation, I will sing your praise." This is the Spirit of Jesus. What does He say I'm going to do? He didn't say you were going to do it. He says, "I'm going to do it. I will sing the Father's praise. I will sing of salvation. This will be a song of deliverance. This will be a song of rejoicing. This will be a song of the Spirit filled out." Verse 13 says, "And again I will put my trust in Him. And again, behold, I and the children whom God hath given me." That is, there is a final presentation where Jesus says, "Here we are, Heavenly Father. I have not lost a one," because if you read the book of John, chapter 6, it tells you that. "All the Father gives me will come to me. And the one who comes to me, I will most certainly not cast out." So here we are. Blood atonement. I've been surrounding them. I've been loving them. I've been shepherding them. I've been keeping them. I've been singing in their midst. I've been giving them songs of deliverance. I have been preserving them. Now here we are, Heavenly Father. Here's your great family. I can only imagine. Is that right? I can only imagine. Man, I am so ready. If you ever read the obituary that says Lawrence Everett Martin, buddy, died, don't you believe a word of it. Just say, "Oh, brother buddy, gone on." You don't have to imagine no more. Thank you, Jesus. It's good to serve the Lord. What an awesome privilege to serve God, to love Him, to know Him, and know that He that redeemed you. And it's always going to be there, folks. I mean, you're going to wrestle through some things, but down deep inside of your spirit, down deep in your heart, there's always going to be this deeper, deeper joy. Sometimes it needs to be released. We'll talk about that in our last part. But it's there. When I was a young Christian, young preacher sprout, began preaching when I was 24. I'm 62 now, so I've been preaching for a while. We lived in Leesville for a few years and bought and sold three homes there. And the last home we were in had my office there. And I'd go in my office, and I prayed real loud, folks. I mean, I wasn't trying to awaken anybody. I mean, this is just my tradition. This is how we just did that. I prayed loud, hard, and long, and loved the Lord. And just, I like to get worked up real good. I pray real good. Real loud, by the way. If I'd have known what was happening outside, though, I wouldn't have been so loud. They came for us to move. We were out on a corner, or four corners were there. People in the house, so this side, I didn't know them. They came over and talked to me, and they said, introduced themselves. We're fixing to leave, so we're finally getting acquainted. And they said, Brother Martin, said, every time we saw you fixing to pray, we heard you. We go out on the front porch and just listen to you pray. We just wanted to hear you praying. I don't know why I told you that. It just really embarrassed me. But, you know, that love you have for Jesus never stops. You may change in your mannerisms. You may change and you may grow in a lot of ways and develop in a lot of different ways. But that love for Jesus down inside of you is constant. It's there. Do you love the Lord? Oh, boy. Let me try that one more time. Do you love the Lord? Do you love the Lord? Do you rejoice in Him? Mm-hmm. Do what I do. Say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Blessed be your holy name. Isn't that good? Devil don't like you to do stuff like that, folks. Anyway, we have these songs in the night. Now, I want to give you one more scripture, then we'll get into our last part. Go to Ephesians chapter 5, and you know where I'm fixing to go, but I want you to see why I'm going there, because here, Paul describes the Spirit-filled life as songs. Did you know that? Every term he uses that expresses the Spirit-filled life has to do with song, has to do with singing. Every word. Listen carefully. You're going to see it when he talks about the different kinds of things. Has to do with singing. And you're going to find that learning to sing to the Lord is probably the keynote to learning to live a Spirit-filled life. It's one of the most awesome things that you can do to live in a Spirit-filled life. God gave songs to Israel for a reason. Do you remember when Israel came out of Egypt? What was the first thing that happened when they got across the Red Sea? What did Miriam do? They had been taught to sing to the Lord. And she got her timbrel. And she got the women there. And they started dancing. And they started singing. And they started praising God. Some folks nowadays, you dance a little bit, they get embarrassed. Well, don't get embarrassed. Do it yourself. Everybody knows you're here anyway, folks. Don't worry about it. But what did Moses do? He wrote a song. It's called the Song of Moses. And by the way, the Song of Moses, the Song of the Lamb, is the same song. The only problem is we don't sing that song because it was written for Israel. And it's going to be sung in Revelation after the church is gone. It's going to be sung by Israel because that is a prophetic song. It lays open the whole plan of redemption in God, in Israel, the Old Testament. That Israel that came out of Egypt, literally, was going to turn from God, get into idolatry, do all kinds of things. God was going to become angry. That whole song lays out their redemption. They'd bring them into the last day. That song will be sung in Israel in the redemption of that people group. But God gave them songs. So you have this all through here about the songs. And we're instructed to sing songs. If you look at Ephesians 5, listen very carefully to the language. Verse 18 says, "Do not get drunk with wine, for that is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit." Do you see a connection here? But be filled with the Spirit. What's the connection? Speaking to one another in... Now listen to the language. What is Psalms? It's the national songbook, a spiritual songbook of Israel. Now listen to every term here is singing. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody with your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, to God, even the Father. Do you see the connection between spiritual life? It's a heart of thankfulness. People who grumble can't live a spirit-filled life. People who are negative can't live a Spirit-filled life. It's those who have a thankful heart, who are thanking the Lord. The song comes out of thankfulness. You're grateful to the Lord. You're thanking Him. And here you have this issue of the singing and the songs that connects to the Spirit-filled life. If you want to live a fullness, you want to enter this year, Lord, I want to get past the whatever it was in the last year that I didn't like about myself or about my life, and I want to live a Spirit-filled life. Well, begin here. Begin with a heart of thankfulness and learn to sing. Make melody with your heart. It'll spill out of your lips. Don't worry about it, folks. Some folks say, I can't sing. Make melody in your heart. It'll flow over. It'll automatically. And I know you men can sing. Some of you get in the bathroom and sing and sing and sing. Some of you get in your car and you sing and you sing and you sing. You're just so afraid for somebody else to hear you. Don't be afraid. Just worship God. What'll happen is that you'll be driving down the road singing to the Lord with a thankful heart. The Holy Spirit will fill that car so wonderfully, you'll have to stop because you're not going to be able to drive. And you're going to be so excited, you're going to get out and start kicking your tires so people won't think you're crazy. And you'll get back in that car and go about your business. Can you say amen? Can you say thank you, Jesus? That's why when things start getting boring around you, just start thanking God for your salvation. Thank you, Jesus. That's what I do when things get real quiet around me and people start getting off and boring salvation. I start thanking God inside. And a lot of times it'll just spill over my lips. Thank you, Jesus. Love you, Lord. And if you want to clear people out of from around you, especially if you're in the store and you're trying to get through the grocery line, just start saying that. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to your holy name. Blessed be the Lord. Next thing you know, you're the only one standing there. And you're ready to check out your goods. Try it. You like it. Can you say amen? God feels that worship. He feels that. That's high praises. That's good worship. That's precious. Now let's come to the last area. We've talked about Jesus' part, the Lord's part. Do we have a part? Absolutely. God never designed you to be a puppet. Can you say amen? He never designed you to live like a puppet on a string. And so, if we want to live a proper life before God, live in the victory of His presence, the power of His presence, the joy of His presence, the peace of His presence, there are some adjustments we have to make. And they're very important that we understand this because, folks, listen, how easy it is to get distracted to this world. How easy it is to get distracted by busyness. How easy it is for your life to start feeling like you're getting dusty and you're getting thirsty and you're losing your desire. You're losing something. You feel like something's not right. Don't ever blame it on anybody else but where you are, because there's something that can be done about it. But you're going to have to get involved with this. And it's very important that we understand this, because what happens, we can begin to become insensitive to spiritual things. And we start doing things out of duty and out of chore and out of obligation. Everything boring around us. The problem is not what's around you, folks. The problem is going on inside of you. And it's so crucial that we begin to understand this. I want you to see something in a type and a shadow. Go back to the book of Numbers. And I don't have much more here to cover, but this is so important. I want you to see in the book of Numbers, chapter number 21, and I'm going to talk you through a little bit of this. But sometimes we need a restoration. And this is what happened to Israel. Now remember, before I read here, let me explain something to you about this book, about all the travels. You remember last week you were here, we talked about the two levels, two Christian levels of living for the Lord. One's the wilderness level, and the other one's the Canaan level. Well, what happened to Israel in her immaturity that she became a grumbler a lot. And she grumbled and complained and didn't like this and didn't like that. And went through dry spells, just dryness. Well, there's one time when she began grumbling that God allowed misfortune. He sent serpents, poisonous vipers, because He had heard this so much. They were grumbling against Him, grumbling against Moses, grumbling against everything. He sent vipers, And the vipers began biting them. But he gave them a key. He gave them something to look at. And by the way, I'm going to quote something from Hebrews chapter 12. Seeing we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily beset us, fixing our eyes on Him, on Jesus, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, talking about the suffering, the shame, and so forth, and He sat down at the right hand of the Majesty on high. It tells you there's something you need to do. You need to get your gaze refixed. Well, this is what this shadow and type over here is. Serpents were sent. They began working among the people. God says, Moses, I want you to make a replica of a serpent, a brass, brazen serpent, and put it up on a pole. And everyone who looks at that, I'm going to heal them. Now, Jesus told Nicodemus that as the serpent was raised up in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in Him would not perish but have everlasting life, for God so loved the world. Right? You know that one. But you need to know the one before that. Well, that what happened was that when they began to look, that was a symbol of Jesus. And we have a problem saying, how can a serpent be a symbol of Jesus who is altogether holy, pure, and righteous? Because He took our sins. He took our failures. He took our backslidings. He took our flesh. And it was wrapped upon Him. And He died in our place and was judged for our sins. So that everyone who will look to Him as the atonement, get your eyes fixed on Him. What happens is, God's healing mercy, God's love flow begins to flow again. But now, I've said all that because I want to bring you to something here that is easy to miss. Numbers 21, verse 5, the Lord sent fire serpent. I've already talked about that, so I won't try to get in that. Okay. Now, if you'll drop down to verse number 16. From there, they continued to Beer. Now, remember, these people are just been healed. They're hot. They're thirsty. They're dry. They're still trembling over this situation because they've escaped from the death. Listen carefully to what happens, though. They continued to Beer. That is the well where the Lord said to Moses, assemble the people that I may give them water. Now, I want you to understand something about this well. This is not the smiting of the rock. This was a well that Moses was commanded earlier to dig for the people in the desert. They dug the well and it became an artesian well. You know what an artesian well is? I mean, you don't stop it. Unless you cap it, it's just going to flow. So what had happened was, though, in the meantime, that well got stopped up. And God brings them back to that well. And they have to do two things. They have to remove the debris and they have to sing a song. Look at it. Then Israel, verse 17, sang this song. Spring up, O well, sing to it. They're telling one another, sing, sing to it. Just start singing. Spring up, O well, spring up. Come on, folks, sing is what they were saying. Sing, sing. They knew that in the song, God would move in an awesome way. Spring up, O well, spring up. Spring up, maybe just a few of them started singing. They didn't feel like singing. You ever done it? You didn't feel like it? Spring up, oh well, spring up. Next thing you know, other folks are singing. Don't you love it when somebody next to you gets full of Spirit singing? Don't you love it? I'm going to tell you something about that. If you're not going to live a spiritual life, move next door to somebody that is. And if you're not going to tithe, move next door to somebody that is. They'll make sure you don't starve. Sorry, I just threw that in, didn't cost you anything extra. Just make sure you're living by somebody that's doing right, because they're going to help you. And so they started singing, spring up, oh well, spring up. And it started catching. Spring up. And guess what happened to that artesian well? Spring up. Out of that dusty, dry ground came fresh, bubbling waters overflowing. Now that is a type and a shadow of the Spirit-filled life. Jesus said, from your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. This He spoke of the Spirit that those who believed in Him were to receive. The Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. But see, we're looking at a type here where they cleared the well. Now, my point in all that is, I try to bring it to a close, is that sometimes, I won't say sometimes, most of the time, if we're having a problem with grumbling or dryness, it's because there's debris that needs to be removed out of our life. Are you listening? Repentance, asking God to forgive us for whatever it may be, for attitudes, for haughtiness, for pride. The Bible calls this the entangled life. You may be getting entangled with the affairs and the cares of this world. And that entanglement is like stones over the mouth of the artesian well. Those things need to be removed. Listen, I'm not talking to you folks. I'm talking to me as well as you. We all have to do these things. You see, whenever you begin to lose your appetite for spiritual things, that in itself will tell you something is wrong. Can you say amen? When a person is sick, they lose their appetite. That's one of the first signs that there's something wrong. When a child starts losing his appetite, mama knows there's something wrong. It's a sign. When you start losing your appetite for spiritual things, it's a time to stop and have a time of cleansing and removing those stones. And as you begin to remove those stones, there's something God wants you to do. Sing a song to Him. Spring up. Oh, well, spring up. If you got to get by yourself because you embarrass somebody being around, just get by yourself. Find you a stump. Find you a tree. Whatever you do. And if that's all you can sing, just sing that one. Spring up. Oh, well, spring up. Thank you, Jesus. Spring up. Oh, well, spring up. Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me, for saving me from myself. And what happens is, next thing you know, Spirit-filled life, you're being filled with the Spirit of the Lord. Listen, folks, there's no such thing as a child of God not having the Holy Spirit. Every child of God has the Holy Spirit. Spirit-filled life is only to be filled with what you've got. Right? So you learn that. And this is what He's showing us here. I'm going to give you one final scripture. If you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, because some people think that everything ought to just be automatic, that the Lord do everything, and the Spirit-filled life, it doesn't really matter what I do, that He's just got to take care of me. No, God gives us something to do. There's things that we must do, folks. And it's very important that we understand this. I'm going to read, beginning with chapter 6. If you go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Now, I'm going to start at verse 14, but as I read down through here, you're going to see some things like stones that need to be taken out of our lives, need to be dealt with. Look at verse 14. Do not be bound together with unbelievers. Folks, listen. This is business also. This is not just worship. This is whatever you do in your life. Don't get in covenant relationship where you're being bound together in some kind of an agreement with someone who is not a believer. You may think it looks good at first, but it's going to come back and bite you in your britches. Do not be bound together with unbelievers. For what partnership hath righteousness and lawlessness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? And of course, the background is idolatry. Verse 15. Or what harmony has Christ with Belial? Or what has a believer in common with an unbeliever? Or what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For we are the temple of the living God. Just as God said, I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore, look at this, come out from their midst and be separate. How many folks know God calls us to holiness? Holiness means separation to Him. He wants your faith to be a holy, sanctified faith. Therefore, come out of their midst, be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will welcome you. Don't be feasting on it. Don't be gazing on it. Don't be wanting it. Don't be desiring it. Don't be influenced by it. Think about it, folks. You can fill in the blanks. I'll be a father to you, and you'll be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, look at verse 1 of chapter 7. Having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. Now, do we have something to work with? He said, yes. Let's have some examinations here. Let's examine our attitude. Let's examine what we're doing in life. Let's get this area of holiness working right, which deals with our attitude and our feelings and our worship and our walk with the Lamb. Let's have holiness perfected in our life. Spring up. But before we can holler, spring up. Got to dig out that well, folks. Have you ever done it? Have you ever just sat down with the Lord and said, Lord, please just examine me? Listen, I got about 3 or 4 minutes extra here. And then about 2 hours later, you said, dear Lord, please, can we save some of this to the next day? And this won't take long. No, it depends on you. It depends on your attitude. What happens, though, this is called the cleansing life, which results in the Spirit-filled life. God will not fill someone with unclean attitudes. He can't. He won't. There'd be no reason for you to ever to really want to walk with Him. So God commands us to holiness. Well, I'm going to close it here, folks. Let me just maybe close it by asking you the question, how's your joy? How is your joy? Do you look forward to worshiping the Lord? Do you look forward to coming together? Do you love to worship Him during the day? Do you enjoy walking with Him? Do you have those moments where it just bursts out? How is your joy? When we sang the song, I can only imagine. How does it affect you? What does it do to your feelings down inside of you? Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we give honor to your name. We thank you for the time of ministry. Lord, we ask you to let the word settle upon our hearts and our minds, our thinking. This is a good time, Lord. I thank you for time. You've broken it into segments. There's certain times that we become more conscious of passing time than other times. Certainly the first of the year, we are so aware of a new year. But these are good times, Lord, for reflection, to look at our own lives. Thank you for it, Lord. Help us to live a bountiful spiritual life before you, Lord. And may you come soon in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, we're not going to drag this out, but if you want to share a revelation or you want to share a thought or ask a question, let's take a little time to have an interchange here. If I don't have the answer, maybe somebody else will have it. How many folks know that in Ephesians chapter 5 where it says be filled with the Spirit, you know what it literally means? Right. Be ye being filled. Be ye being filled, which is something which is a constant. God's saying, be constant in this. Be ye being filled. Learn to control your thought life. Some people say you can't. Yes, you can. The reason you can't, because you wait too late. You see, if you'll learn initially, at the very beginning, to deal with your thoughts, you'll find yourself not having a problem with your thoughts. Are you listening to me, folks? If you're in your bed, and some of you folks old-timers heard me say this, but if you're in your bed at night and you're laying down, you hear somebody raising the window to break in your house, and you lay in bed, and that dude walks down through the hall, walks in your bedroom, walks up beside your bed, you know what you're going to have to do to get him out? You're going to have to fight him from the bed back down through the hall out the window. If you'd have got you a broomstick and smacked him over the head real good when he first poked his head in your window, you wouldn't have had a problem. Isn't that right? If you'd have whopped him good, he wouldn't want to come back to your house. This is why people have a problem, because they don't deal with it initially. You bring those thoughts captive. You whop them with a broom. And see, what happens as you train yourself to do this, you find the Spirit-filled life accommodates that. But no, we're going to sit there and admire him. We can count every wart on Goliath back. All the hair coming out of his nose, we magnified him. He one ugly dude. Nah, he ain't nothing. He ain't nothing. Can you say amen? David didn't think he was anything. Because David had his mind. He was a spiritual man. He had his mind set on the Lord. When he came down the side of that mountain, all he needed was some stones. He had five of them, right? Someone said that stands for Jesus. No, no. That stands for Goliath and his four brothers. I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill your four brothers. They come out here. You hear that, devil? Goliath's got four brothers. I'm going to kill all of you. Just bring them on. No, them brothers didn't want to come. You treat the devil that way, folks. And these thoughts that want to invade your mind, your life, deal with them. So I'm talking. Nobody else saying anything. So. Anything you want to say? Thank you, Sister Lacey. I'm glad to see you here. It's true. It's the word of the Lord, folks. And you know it's true. Can you renew yourself, renew your pledge to the Lord? This is our first gathering on Sunday for the year. Renew your pledge to the Lord. Renew your heart, your mind, your life to the Lord. And just let Him know. It doesn't take a lot of squalling and bawling and crying and that kind of stuff. It really doesn't. It's an issue of the heart. And Lord, I'm renewing myself to You. Help me, Lord. I want to walk before You in the integrity of Your truth. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Brother Buddy, it just reminded me of a verse in Romans. You know, you mentioned about taking every thought captive. It's elementary. You know, it's the basics of what we need to do, you know, to continue to let our mind dwell on the things of the Lord. But there's another verse also. You mentioned something about giving thanks all the time for all things. And in Romans chapter 1, in verse 21, he's talking about one of the things that caused the people to continue down a road of more serious depravity. And it was just a real basic thing, like what you said. Chapter 21 in verse 1, in chapter 1, verse 21 says, "For even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks." You know, we're looking for the big thing that caused us to turn. It's not a big thing. It's elementary. It's the basics. It's giving thanks, you know, in all things. Because when we don't do that, it says, "But they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened." And then the following verses go down this road of depravity, which leads to death. You know, but it started out where, you know, they decided to dwell on things that were not of God, right, and didn't even thank Him for what they do have. You know, what do you have? What did He give you? You know, we can give thanks for a lot. Just in the last 2 minutes. There's a lot we can be thankful for what He's given us.
That's wonderful, brother. Appreciate that, brother. That's good. You're going to find a lot written about that in the Bible, right? "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God." Everything give thanks. And Paul writing to the Thessalonian believers. And he always comes back to that, because that was the very Hebraic thing to do, by the way. The Hebrews did not teach the long, drawn-out praying, and Jesus didn't either. What they taught was constant praying. That is, the prayer was always on your lips throughout the day. And so your whole life became a life of prayer. And, of course, it became kind of a bondage later on, because they began to insist that you had to pray, you had to thank God 100 times through the day. You know, but when Paul said pray without ceasing, he was speaking from his culture. This is the way they were taught, that you live in thankfulness throughout all the day, thanking God. And that maintains your spiritual life, right? Thank you, Brother Wood. I appreciate you bringing that up. Anyone else? Amen? Let's stand together, folks. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. We're going to worship the Lord, and if you would like to come up, have a need this morning, please, the altars are open. You can come kneel and pray if you'd like. If you'd like to just come to be anointed with oil, or whatever it may be, we want to invite you to come. You need to renew your devotion, consecration to the Lord. I don't think anything wrong with people doing it, Christians doing it. I think you ought to do it often. There's nothing wrong with doing it in public. I remember many years ago, I heard a gentleman rebuke a congregation about all the people always having to come up and rededicate. I didn't say anything, but I thought to myself, well, listen, bro, that's what life's all about, is rededication. We ought to be rededicating our heart every night, every day. There's nothing wrong with doing that publicly. It's a good thing to do. Amen? So whatever reason you want to come up, feel free as we worship the Lord. Bless your name.